Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
I'm excited to be here today with Gay Linfords, and we are going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, which is organization, but from God's perspective, which is unlike how we like all our little ducks in a row all the time, don't we?
And it's very difficult to
let God do it His way. But Gay, you're the perfect person to share this time with, because you're an author, speaker, blogger, humorist, and your stories and sessions refresh, encourage, and bring audiences something to giggle about in the difficulties of life. You are a longtime friend, a featured speaker over at WomenSpeakers.com, and welcome to you.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you, Marnie. Thank you.
Well, I'm excited to have you and so looking forward to this time, because I do so love talking about organization. Mm-hmm. And the title of this exact program is Getting My Ducks in a Row, which is the name of your new book. Yay.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about spiritual organization in a chaotic world. Mm-hmm. And this is, I want us to just start right off the top with the beauty of a God-led life and how this differentiates from us trying to get our ducks in a row without God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so often we try and live and do and show up in using only our strengths and our gifts, right? And when we do that, we miss out on all the resources that God has behind us, that He wants to live through us and show. So yeah, when we strive and we try and control and we try and fix, we miss out on God's blessing. And it's through His blessings and His resources that we can show up and do and fix using His strength.
Yeah. I like to say that I can do it pretty good some of the times, maybe. Okay. And then my theme verse for life is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And in the NIV version, it says, God is able to do all things at all times, give you all things at all times, so that in all situations, you will have everything you need. I mean, he's like the abundant God, and He's got so much more to bring the table than we do.
Yes. Well, one of the first verses that many of us, I think, learned when we were little children was Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Mm. And I think too often we try and do everything on our own, and we were never meant to do that. It takes away our joy, and it doesn't work.
Right. Right. I always say that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. And when I say it, I'll be asking myself, what am I feeling like I'm really wanting right now? Because if the Lord is truly being my shepherd, those wants become just, they're just praises, waiting, curiosities. I love that word, being curious a lot.
Yeah. Yes. And don't you think that sometimes when we think about our relationship with God, He is like our last resort, or He's our 911 call. You know, we go to our friends, or I'll go to my books. You know, we're going to try and figure this out because we're smart. Yeah. You know, I'm a Midwestern girl. I know how to work hard. I can do this. Yeah. And I think God just smiles, and He just reaches out and says, Gay, would you just stop and take a breath? You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. Let's do this together.
Yeah, there was one day my kids were small. I was pregnant, early pregnant. I was babysitting three kids of another friend, and I had to go to the bathroom. We were out in the backyard and we were just playing. I was watching them. And so I didn't know what to do. I was pregnant. I had to go. Mm-hmm. And so I went into the house very quickly, and I got in the bathroom and I looked out the window, and everybody was still alive and well. Sat down, got up, looked out the window. Everybody was still alive and well. I ran out. And as I came out the door, I slipped and I fell, and I hit really hard.
Oh dear.
And I was so scared, Gay. I was so scared. Mm-hmm. And I got the kids in, and I called my friend who was a nurse, but she wasn't there. And I called another friend who was a nurse, and she wasn't there. And then I didn't know what to do. And then I just looked up and I said, can you help me? And it was like, in that moment.
I get that. I know. Yes.
In that moment, I just had this aha realization that I didn't go to him first.
Yeah.
At all. He didn't even cross my mind first. Mm-hmm. You know? And so this, the beauty of a godly life is that we get to tap into the God of eternity, the eternal, almighty, ever-present, mm-hmm. all-knowing God every time we have any need of any kind. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with the analogy for ducks in a row?
Well, it was the meaning behind it was what came up to me first. As I think you know, Marnie, I've been a primary caregiver for my mom who had Alzheimer's for about 6 years. So I stayed a lot of the time at her apartment, and then I'd come home every couple days and spend a day or so. My sisters and I would help out. But I realized during that there was a lot about that, especially during the last year, that I could not fix.
Right.
Alzheimer's is a terrible, sad, awful disease. So I couldn't make it right. I couldn't fix it. Right. And I was working full time and speaking and writing. And I realized I can't do this. You know how, you know, I do this thinking I'm trying to gather all my ducks. And I would find myself saying to my husband, Steve, I can't do this. And as I started, I thought, I need to write the book that I need to read right now. Mm-hmm. And I realized as I was writing, it's like I would find myself saying, I can't get my act together. I just can't get my act together. I can't get my ducks in a row. And then I started thinking, who could get their ducks in a row? I mean, that's almost an impossible task.
Right?
So why do I keep trying? So that's how I came up with the name, was realizing I can't get my ducks in a row. So God, what are you teaching me in this? Because I can't.
How many of the stories that you include in here happened actually during the writing process?
Oh, maybe a third of them.
Sure.
Maybe a third of them. I would say some of the stories happened some years ago, but my ahas about the story, most of them happened in the last, I would say last year before mom died in January.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry for your loss. So my mom passed away of Alzheimer's too. And dementia. No. It is so sad, isn't it? It's just anybody out there who's going through this, we just feel your pain. And it is truly a sense of almost daily grief of another loss.
It is. Yeah. And you know, like you just said too, if there are people out there listening who are taking care of parents or watching parents with dementia or Alzheimer's, may I just say to you, friends out there, you don't have to have your act together. Show yourself some grace.
Yeah.
God doesn't expect you to do this all on your own. It's okay. Yes, you're going to mess up, and God shows you grace.
I think, and I'm sure that you experience this too, because Gay, I know that you are a woman who really depends on God as you go through your life. But I know what we experienced with my mom was that when we would have desperate needs, he would be there for us and we wouldn't know, but then someone would speak a word or someone would do something or make an offer, or it was very supernatural.
Yeah, I agree. And I think in addition to seeing those supernatural blessings come my way, the other supernatural piece that I experienced was I gave up my desire to have control and I chose to reach out and ask for help. I remember the first night that I emailed my close prayer, my little prayer group. And it was the first time that I'd done this. And I said, I feel so alone and I don't know what to do. And I just left it at that. But that was my first step in my process of realizing, these ducks, they're in a pond I can't even see. So I'm not even going to worry about it right now.
I think I have ducks, but I don't know where they are.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm actually, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but I'm just going to go with the spirit and share this. So I'm going to share one thing that we discovered in our journey with my mom's dementia. And you think of if there's something, and this is for all you guys who are, or maybe in the future have someone, or may even find yourself in dementia. So what I was, my mom just loved my mother-in-law. So these gals were friends. And actually, my mother-in-law is living with us right now. It's such a delight. Mm. But my mom has passed on. But one day I drove her the 90 miles to Doris's house. And Doris made us a lovely little lunch. And then we drove the 90 miles home. And my mom loved that. She had such a good time. She wasn't quite sure what was going on the whole time, but she really enjoyed it. The next day, we're sitting at the table, and she's got her pills in one hand and her water in the other hand. And she says, wasn't that a lovely lunch with Doris? And I said, oh, it was, Mom. Can you take your pill? And she said, what pill? Oh.
Yes.
You know, and yes. at that moment, I thought, wait a minute, are you just playing with me or what's going on here? And what we discovered was that dementia is like clouds. So if you imagine that your brain is like a sky, and when you're young and you can think clearly, the sky is clear. You can get out all your thoughts anytime you want. But as you get older, and even as dementia sets in, clouds come and they cover entire sections of your thoughts for long periods of time. And all of a sudden, the sun will shine through just in a little opening, and you'll think, oh, here we go. But then the clouds will come again, and you have no control over this. Yeah. It was really helpful for me. My sister actually was the one who came up with that analogy, my sister who was mom's full-time caregiver. Mm-hmm. And it was really helpful.
Yes, I agree. And it's amazing. The brain is so amazing what they remember and what they don't. You know, mom wouldn't remember the five minutes before that.
Yes.
But she could tell you conversations she had with her sisters 70 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's so bizarre. Well, let's talk about the difference between order and obsessive organization. So I like to think of God as being extremely orderly. If you think about how the world functions, the sun doesn't come up whichever day it feels like it. It comes up every morning and you can clock it for years in advance. I mean, he's very orderly. And yet there's this beautiful freedom and flow in God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, how I've experienced that is this obsessive compulsion or the needing my ducks to be in a row, that comes from a place, I think, a little bit of arrogance, thinking I can do this. And it's beyond just recognizing my own strengths. It's I can do this and I'm going to do this. And it's that self-sufficiency that a lot of times works for us. Other times it doesn't. Yeah. But it's that need to control and fix. You know, one of the stories that I write about in my book is they're doing a lot of construction work around our house for the last year. And every time we'd go by these huge, huge tractors and lifts and cement dumps. And I'd always say to Steve, oh, I'm so glad I'm not in charge of that. Yeah. And every time, I'm so glad I'm not, as if I would be in charge of something like that. But there's this part of my brain that thinks, I could read a book, I could study, give me a hammer, I'll figure it out, you know? But I think so when we put that into our daily lives, we think, I can do this. Rather than stepping back and saying, today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, what do you have for me today? Which ducks am I going to pay attention to? And which pond should we try and get them into? And let's just go with that for today. But it's part of relinquishing that control and realizing, I don't have to do it all. Right. I don't have to fix that cement truck. Thanks be to God.
Right. Right. So true. Yeah. So the analogy that I've always used is juggling balls. Okay. So as we had, especially when we lived in War Road, Minnesota, where we lived for 30 years, but then we were still homeschooling the kids, and we bought a restaurant, then we bought a retail store, and I was still writing, still speaking, still managing womenspeakers.com. And then the balls were getting like crazy, like just like a wow. Mm-hmm. And the days that I felt like the most chaotic days, I would say my balls are just bouncing all over. I don't know where. But what I knew for sure is that God uses everything to teach us dependence. So I think where, you know, you use the word arrogance, and I think I want to come back and address that, because it's in, I think that our motives are healthy. in that we want to take responsibility. We want to do a good job. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when we think about coming into the world, we come into the world as a baby, as a newborn baby. Jesus, imagine him coming into the world as a newborn baby, totally dependent on his parents. Amazing. And then we grow into dependence to the point where we leave our parents' home and we become independent. Now, that's how we think we're supposed to be with God too, except it's exact opposite. With God, we come into the world totally thinking, me do it myself, my way, like a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. Since we were tiny, we've been wanting to be independent of God. And his whole purpose is to grow us into total dependence with him. And so I think that's where we get messed up. And it's like, no, I just want to be, aren't I supposed to be responsible? Yes, you are. Aren't I supposed to be worrying that my balls are bouncing or my ducks are off the chart? Right. No, whatever. Right. Yes, you are. But that's because we're supposed to be growing more dependent on God. And he's using all these things to grow that dependence.
Yes. And as we grow that, and as we realize, yep, getting our ducks in a row or getting all the juggling balls put together, it is in that time then that we learn to do that even better and more effectively and efficiently if we will let God in and lead us in that rather than trying to do it on our own. Right. That's the best way to get the balls all together in the same basket.
Well, and get them where they're supposed to be, because honestly, how would I know?
Right.
You know, I look back at things that have happened in my life and I think I could have never orchestrated that if I would have tried, but I didn't even know to ask for it.
You
know, you just look at what he can do. Look at what he does. So this obsessive organization, I'm just going to talk to you type A's out here and just say, God made you a type A. It is a beautiful gift to the world that you are a type A. And it is also your greatest weakness, because every greatest strength is also a greatest weakness. That's just, it comes with the package. So this is an area where you are going to have to work harder than our party girls, who really could care less about the details and ducks in a row. I mean, they kind of think it looks cute when they're all messed up. The A personalities are going to struggle more with this, but it's an area where God is going to show you his faithfulness and his power as you yield this to him. And you will come to the point where you just love it, that you don't have to have the pressure of being the one to make sure that the ducks are in the row in the end.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. So what is your personality on the personality types? Are you the organizer or the, I mean, you're so much fun.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm an introvert who's learned to be an extrovert, but I'm also a sanguine. I'm energetic, but I have a real high organizational capability and strength.
Yeah.
So it's a combination.
Yeah, I can tell that. I was going to say you're so organized, and yet you are that party girl too. So it's kind of a fun combo there that you've got going.
Yeah, the party girl. I can do that for a little bit, and then I just need to. Yep. Oh, now I need to be done. And I think part of that is learned. Is
absolutely
learned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We do grow, fortunately. Yeah. So what do you do these days when life just throws you a huge curveball?
Well, the biggest curveball was, of course, Mom and her death in January. And what I've learned is you take the next step.
Yeah.
I could not think about down the road. I just thought about, what do I need to do next? We took care of all of her, her things and the farmland up north and all of that. We took care of that into March. And then, of course, as everyone has experienced, this virus hit, and Steve's mom got it. And she came to live with us for 2 months while she had it. And we took care of her while she had it. So that was a curveball. So many.
Well, the whole 2020 was a curveball
for everyone. And I think I go back to Marnie. Let's show ourselves some grace. Let's lighten up. Mm-hmm. And I think too often we spend time fighting what we can't control. We fight the the internet conversations. We fight the political conversations. Mm. We fight the virus. And the fighting doesn't get us anywhere. Mm. Rather, you know, and by fighting, I mean the tension, the striving, right. the trying to control, right. Right. trying to fix it. Rather, let's figure out how can I best serve the people in front of me right now? What's the next step? And that's what I'm going to do. And look for, as you said earlier, that ray of sunshine. Keep looking for it. We have to look a little harder these days, but it's there. It's always there. So we look for the joy, the little things.
I'm thinking about speaking to Africans in the bush. And of course, they had seen these things go by overhead, but they'd never been in one. And so I was using the illustration with them of how you get in this metal tube and you go up above the clouds. And so when we're down on earth, all you see is clouds. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the plane and you go up over them, the sun is always shining.
Yes.
And they were just amazed that the sun was always shining because they hadn't had the experience of actually seeing that happen. And of course, to us, it's all old news. But the fact is that sometimes we forget about this, that God is always in control. Mm-hmm. And our life circumstances come over and block our vision of that. And we forget that regardless of what's going on, he is always in control. So what you said, this has been my prayer in 2020. And fortunately, my life was so radically affected by COVID that it was really clear to me that nothing would be the same until it got back. And so if it comes back. And so I just got up every day and I said, well, what are we going to do today? And sometimes it was a project that took months to complete. Other times it was something a few weeks out. Other times it was just, this is the hour by hour plan. But I look back at this year as one of the most amazing, God-sized, productive, in different ways than could ever have happened. Without Wonderful. This tragedy, and it is, I mean, we've lost so many lives and so much hardship, so much economic hardship and just so much pain. And yet God is still busy at work. And when I get thrown a curveball, please God, let me always do 911 up first.
Right.
And then take action here.
Yes. Right. There's a one of my favorite verses is in Hebrews 12:1, where it says, I'm looking at it here. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. And here's the piece that I claim. Strip down, start running, and never quit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And may I share just a quick story from my book on this?
Please.
You and maybe others perhaps remember the days back in school, junior high, senior high, when we had to wear uniforms. And our exercise uniform was this blue thing that had elastic around the arms, elastic around the thighs, Ooh. Elastic around the waist, and then Ooh. Snapped up the front. There was nothing flattering. It was like the Michelin woman in blue. It was so ugly. And then, of course, back then, we had to do, every year, we had to do the presidential fitness test.
Yes.
So you'd have to climb, you'd have to crawl under ropes, you'd have to climb a rope. Why would we all of a sudden have to climb a rope? We'd jump the hurdles. We had all these things. And then the end was run. I don't remember how far we had to run, but none of us were runners. And I remember running around the bus track up in northwestern Minnesota and running thinking, I'm going to die. And then I can't breathe. My legs hurt. I'm going to die. I wonder if someone would notice if I just lay down on this gravel road and just died. But I think of that often, and I think so much of it was in my head, but I go back there and I think, get yourself back up, strip off what's holding you down, and don't quit. And I think for many of us, that's what we have to remember. Mm-hmm. Let's not quit. Yes, it's been a horrible year, as you described, and God is still on the throne, and the sun is still shining, and there is hope. I mean, that's what Christmas is all about.
Right.
He sent his son. He probably looks at us and thinks, I sent you my son. Jesus is born. The first thing the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid.
Yeah.
That's what we have to remember. Right. We keep taking the next step when those curveballs come.
Right. And they're going to keep coming. I mean, that is just one thing we can count on in this world. We will have trouble.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
Yeah. So how do you maximize the partnership of planning with flexibility? Because both are actually needed.
Yeah. I think it's two different things. I'm a planner, so I plan what I'm going to do, but then I remind myself there's going to have to be flexibility, whether that is down to the nuts and bolts of it, giving myself more time for a phone call or more time for an interview so that I don't feel crunched on the time part of it. Mm-hmm. But I also have learned that done is better than perfect. Yes. So I may have the plan. I'm going to get this, you know, I'm going to get this chapter written today. And then something happens with mom and, you know, back then, and that comes first. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to switch priorities now. So that's the flexibility part. And I think, again, for me, Marnie, it goes back to grace.
It is.
God gives us grace. So why do we keep shoving it away thinking, no, I'm going to do this my way because I can do this. Yeah. No, it's grace. I show myself, I'm learning how to show myself grace.
And you know what I know is happening is that even though you already were so gracious, Gay, always, but as you become more gracious to yourself, you also become more gracious to others.
Yes, I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that. Yes. I think because when we don't show it to ourselves, we don't really know what it is. We
don't have it.
We don't have it. So how can we give it away as much as we'd like? Oh, Marnie, I think that's brilliant. I agree.
You know, and I think it's one of the things that is the most exciting to me when I see growth in myself. It isn't selfish to say, I am more gracious now, or I am more kind now, or because of this experience, I have more compassion now. That is beautiful because first of all, I'm experiencing the blessing of it. But not only that, I have more to extend to others. We cannot give what we do not have.
Right.
I agree. God's gracious blessing there. I just now, it's kind of fun that we're talking about this today because just this morning, I released at Marnie.com, it's right there in the banner at the homepage, a new mini series on planning how you're going to launch something new, whether it's a new speaking topic or event or ministry or business or book or whatever. Anyway, this point about planning and flexibility is so important. And I had the wonderful opportunity to be raised by a mother who was very, very organized, a super planner, as well as very flexible. And what she would always say is she would say, the reason I spend so much time planning is so that I can be so flexible in the moment.
Oh, yes.
You know, so yes, there are two different things. You've got the planning. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the privilege of being super flexible because you actually did the legwork that positioned you to be able to flow with pretty much anything. Okay, so that didn't work. You know, whatever. Yeah. It is not going to be perfect here on earth. Every once in a while, something will be perfect. I remember sitting next to the worship leader at the church that we attended for many years. And he is just like this amazing musician, fantastic. Mm. And every once in a while, I think only twice that I remember, after service, he would look at me and I was at the keyboard and he was at the piano. He'd look at me and say, I think that was just about perfect. But he was used to having to perform at a perfect level. He had to train to be perfect. You don't get to be a recording artist or whatever and make a lot of mistakes. You just don't get to that level making mistakes. And so his norm for performance was perfect. Yeah. But he realized that most Sundays weren't going to be perfect. And isn't that awesome?
Yes.
I mean, all of that talent poured into such an imperfect combination of volunteers singing and,
people. How much of this balance between the perfection and the flexibility, how much of it is in our heads, do you think? And how much of it is in our hearts? Like, how do we find the right combination between the two?
So here's my understanding of it is that God is perfect And he calls us from the time we are born to perfection. In fact, in the Bible, it says, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. And I think to me, the way that that verse makes sense is it's a father with his little newborn baby. And he's looking down at this little boy in his arms and he's saying to him, you're my big, tough man. Because he knows that someday this little helpless, dependent baby is going to be a big, strong man. And I think that's how God sees us. He sees us as perfect already, Gay. It isn't something we have to earn or deserve because we never could. It's something that he just looks at our mess and he sees the beautiful gems in there, and he's the amethyst miner getting it out. You know, he's just working every day to help us release the gem that is already inside of us. And so when we get all focused on perfection, I think the only time it brings us pain is when we insist that it happens today. Otherwise, I think we actually get perfection. I think heaven is perfection. Mm-hmm. So what the problem comes? Yeah, when I get all impatient about not being perfect today, that's when I get in trouble.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Thank you. I love that.
The freedom to be who we are, where we are, with whom we are today, for God's glory. Amen. It's good. Yeah. Okay. So how do you get a ton of stuff done without becoming a drill sergeant?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. I think part of it goes back to our minds, how we think about the work in front of us. If we are thinking about the work as tasks that are must be done now, we're going to show up with that more like a drill sergeant attitude. Mm-hmm. If we show up like, I have this work in front of me that is going to serve someone, even if it's balancing someone's spreadsheet, you know, it goes to another purpose. Mm-hmm. If we are looking at it like this is a work in front of me that I'm going to do to serve someone else, and I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability in the timeline I've been given, I'm going to serve that way. Because this is what God has told me to do today. I think it's a head thing for me anyway. What about you?
So two stories are coming to mind. One is about Cecil Murphy and the other is about a restaurant. So if I forget one of them, you help me remember.
Okay. Yes.
So first, Cecil Murphy has written over 100 books, many bestsellers. And he told me that at one point he couldn't write very well. He was like having writer's block because he'd had some bestsellers and now he felt like he had to produce this amazing, awesome work every time he wrote anything. And it just shut him down. He couldn't function anymore. So he said what he had to do was he got to the point, the privilege, and I said had to, but it's a privilege, to get to the point where he just said, I'm just going to do my best and I'm going to let God take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. And he went on to write many more bestsellers and many books that were not bestsellers. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the reality of it. We don't get to pick which ones are bestsellers or not. Yeah. You just come to the table with the tools God's given you today and you do what you're supposed to do. So the other example I'm thinking of right now is there was a day we owned a restaurant and I was thinking, at first the thought came to me, you know, in the restaurant, you've got a lobby full of people waiting for their food and you have to do it. It's not like you can say, well, you know, I'll make that if I feel like it later. You know, I mean, it's a lot of pressure. There's just intense pressure. They call them firestorms in the kitchen for a reason. It's intense. Well, this one day I was feeling sick. I was really not well. And I covered, you know, called somebody. They went in. And so I wasn't there, but they got in the middle of this huge firestorm rush and called and just said, do you think you could just come? And I knew I wasn't contagious sick. I just was sick. And I said, you know, I'll try. So I got some clothes on and I went over there and I got out into this firestorm and it didn't even take 15 minutes. And I was hyperventilating in the bathroom over the toilet. I mean, I was so overwhelmed. My body just couldn't handle it. It was too much stress. Anyway, I'm in the bathroom at the restaurant. I'm in the bathroom laying on my back on the floor with my feet up on the toilet lid, trying to get some circulation going so I could breathe. And in that moment, one of the gals who was working came in the back and she goes, Marnie, your doctor is out in the lobby. Do you want me to have her come back and talk to you? And I said, that's amazing. Yes, because I wasn't sure if I should like go to the ER.
Right.
I couldn't, you know, I was just overwhelmed. So she comes, it was a single stall bathroom. It was just for the employees. So she comes into the bathroom door, and with her is the male intern that she's training in that day.
Hello, nice to meet you.
I know. So she just kind of talked me through how it happened and everything. And she's been my doctor with all the kids. And she said, you're going to be fine. Just go back home, go to bed. They'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You're fine. And I thought, you know, what is the mercy of God? How could I have planned that? And you know what happened, Gay? Even though I couldn't help them, and even though I ended up adding serious trauma to the firestorm, they got through it. We didn't lose any customers that day. You know, we make it into this, it's like you said, we make it into this big head game about how it's all about me, my performance, my perfection, all of that. And it's never about that. It's all about you and Jesus walking through today, him living through you, loving people through you. You know, I mean, it's just, it's such a beautiful gift that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want you to tell us why, tell everybody why they need to read this book, Getting My Ducks in a Row, and then I'm going to tell them why.
Well, we'll take turns. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, it's the book that I needed to read. I needed to remember that I don't need to fix everything. I don't need to control everything. And the other part of it was I found myself worried about disappointing people rather than showing up and loving them. Mm-hmm. And it was getting to be too much. And like you just said, focus on me. What am I not doing right? What am I doing wrong? And I needed to find some joy back. Losing mom, saying goodbye to mom was deep grief, as you know. I needed to find that joy. I needed to have hope that that joy would return. So I started thinking about stories from my own life about, and then what was the aha moment? What was the humor in it? What was the Bible message in there? So in this book, it's filled with Bible verses. It's very Bible-centered. Humor, I don't mind poking fun at myself. I will put myself up to be the joke, you know, appropriately, as much as I can. So I think this book will encourage people. It will bring them hope. It'll give them something to giggle about. I have some women who say they read it as a morning devotional. It's not written that way, but it's a way to kind of get your day going. And others just read all through it real fast.
Yeah.
That's why I think hope, encouragement, faith.
Yeah. Right. So Getting My Ducks in a Row by Gay Linford. So you want to be sure to grab a copy of that. And one of the things that a phrase that I often say is that I would be more faithful if it didn't feel so irresponsible. And what I mean by that is sometimes, you know, I would trust God. Well, for example, the day my father died suddenly, I received that news and probably went into shock. And I got the news when I was at a buyer's show and we were walking out and I had just heard this short email or voicemail message that just said, Marnie, your father is dead, period. That was it. And we were walking across the parking lot toward our van. And I was doing what I always do in that situation now, since that day earlier in my life that I realized I called God last. So I just, as much as possible, go straight to Jesus, 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 Jesus. I just say his name over and over and over. We're walking toward the van. So this is less than 5 minutes from when I got the message that I was always daddy's little girl. I mean, this was horrible. We got almost to the vehicle and all of a sudden God just put a thought in my mind and it changed how I grieved. And I looked at my husband and I said, oh, wow, Dave, if this is true that my father is dead, then that means that he got exactly what he asked for his whole life. There were four girls and no boys in our family. And he would often say to us, he would say, I sure hope I don't have to get old and become a burden to you girls. And Gay, in that moment, I can tell you that was not what I wanted to hear. I did not want him to get his way. I wanted my way. I wanted my daddy with me for a lot longer.
Right. It was no burden to you.
But I realized in that moment that God had answered his prayer exactly the way he wanted it. Yeah. There was no time for any kind of burden because he was just alive and then he was gone. And I remember thinking, though, as I was with other people who were deeply grieving the normal way, I feel like I could be more faithful here if I didn't feel so irresponsible. Like if I didn't feel like I should be crying more, carrying on more, whatever. But in that situation, I learned that actually I could be very comforting, be very present there for the other people who were grieving without experiencing their same level of grief. I could experience the healing God had graciously given me. And it wasn't that I didn't grieve. I just didn't grieve the way I would have. And so I just, as you guys go through this book, getting my ducks in a row, I know that you are going to come to more of a comfort level with this concept of receiving grace and actually living it out, even if it looks irresponsible to some people and they can't understand how you can be so laid back when your balls are bouncing all over, or you don't even know where your little duckies are. You know, I mean, that this is where God puts us sometimes. And by God's grace, we can be at peace in those moments. And I really believe that your book is going to help a lot of people move out of this anxious, worrying, over-organized situation into more of a peaceful, joyful experience. Mm-hmm. So thank you for writing it.
Thank you for those words, Marnie. That encourages me. Thank you. I love that story. Thank you for that.
Well, I love you, and I love what God continues to flow through you. If you guys aren't familiar with Gay already, you really need to get to know her and her ministry. Go over to her website at gaylindfors.com. Also, she's available as a speaker, of course, online or on-premise for hybrid or on-premise events coming up now in 2021. And you can learn more about her at womenspeakers.com and her availability over there. Gay, thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Thank you, Marnie. Thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you. Yeah.